Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why I'm doing this. I gotta stop it. I'm slap happy. It's the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. It is a Sunday night episode. Was gonna do it Sunday morning, but then I chose to get out of Pennsylvania as soon as possible and I'm just tried to get some work done, all that kind of stuff that, you know, comes after a game. Go through all the pictures, which turned out beautiful thanks to the new lens that I just purchased right before going. It's beautiful Sigma 120-300mm f/2.8. Set me back, but very excited about it. I don't know why I'm blathering on about it, except for that I'm excited about it still. Anyway, we have a game to talk about. We will spend the first two segments talking about the game. We'll do the offense first, then we'll move into the defense, and then after that, we will, I ask for questions, we'll take your questions, and go from there. So, yeah. Let us get to it. Offense, I was really impressed by what Michigan rolled out. I know there's probably a lot of people who aren't, but I can tell there's a lot of people who are because I got a lot of texts and DMs and things of that nature that of people saying, like, finally kind of saw it. So I thought that was a really excellent showing, particularly by Shea Patterson. No, they didn't. It was a little too late to some degree. Still some self-inflicted wounds there. But you finally kind of saw something. Zach Charbonnet had a hell of a game as well. But Shea, on top of going 24-41, 276 yards, one interception, got a rushing touchdown in there to draw it within seven. Really was just a, absolute gritty performance. I don't think he has anything he should hang his head about. I think to some degree his receivers didn't help him out. I'm not singling anyone out because it was kind of across the board, which is also, by the way, with all this Ronnie Bell hate, why it's so ridiculous. Like, it just, that needs to stop. Michigan fans that are getting so angry that you're out there spouting off. I've said this a lot of times in this podcast. You just can't do that. Like, you have to understand what these guys go through, all the work, and I understand they made you sad. No one's more sad than they are because they're the ones who are in the gym at 5 a.m. They're the ones balancing school and football and all of that. Ronnie Bell had a hell of a game outside of that. Second in receiving, 5 receptions, 82 yards. He's one of the main reasons why Michigan was in the position to tie the game in the first place. So just stop. If you're one of my listeners here that's decided that you were going to spout off on a single player and whatever, just don't. Be better than that. You gotta be better than that. Zach Charbonnet had a really good game. It's funny because it started out with Hassan Haskins, kind of got the early call and he got bottled up after a few times. And Zach Charbonnet, like, they started to pass to run the ball, which is what we've been wanting to see. Shea kept the ball 12 times, 34 net yards. He had a loss of 8 total. Really just you started to see how things are supposed to look. No, it didn't end up working, but that's what we finally got to see. We finally got to see this offense kind of look like it's supposed to. You got to see some of the speed and space on top of the fact that the scheme has already been there, but you actually got to see it in practicality. Now, it's unfortunate. I do agree with what Harbaugh said after the game because I was texting. But aside from talking to some of the photographers and things on the sideline, like, I would say to one of them, like, or one of them would say to me, vice versa, be like, are they just not going to call pass interference on Penn State? And then I'd get a and then I'd get a text being like, yeah, obvious missed pass interference here. Something like always like that, or like I obviously went the other way. Calling offensive pass interference on Michigan, but not on Penn State. That first touchdown, I could see it with my naked eye as it was happening that Pat Freiermuth pushed off. Now, it's not the reason why Michigan lost the game. Now, those calls did change the game, right? Because that's a touchdown that could have, should have not been. It should have been a penalty on Penn State. Some of those other plays, the Nico Collins pass interference, which did not look like pass interference to me. It's, and then you just going the other way, like the fact that they got those calls and Michigan didn't, that's a shame. You don't want to see that. The most costly one, I think, being the LeVert Hill one. And I rewatched it. Like when I saw it live, I said, the player just fell down, and rewatching it, I don't know. I'm ambivalent about that one, but nonetheless, I mean, I thought the offense had a really good showing. It just took way too long for that to happen. And you have to like their resolve, because they found that resolve where normally it would, this wasn't like the too little too late against Wisconsin when the game was definitely over by the time Michigan started driving the ball. This time around, Michigan, it found ways to do what it wanted to do. And it really, that feverish crowd at Beaver Stadium, which, by the way, a Penn State whiteout, if you've never been, this was my third whiteout. I've been to three games at Penn State. This was the third time I've gone. That's the second time it's been at night, because the 2015 one was a noon kick, but it was a whiteout. It's the best atmosphere I've ever been a part of. I highly, highly recommend it. It's not the same, even though there's anger, because you're just going to be, anytime you get 110,000 people together, it doesn't have that unsafe feeling, that angry feeling that you get when you go to Ohio State. At Ohio State, it's a very unnerving feeling being there. This is not unnerving. It's wonderful. But that crowd, yeah, there were people, you know, yelling at Jim Harbaugh. There were people throwing bottles out onto the field eventually and things of that nature. But, you know, for the most part, it was a good crowd. And they got really quiet somewhere there near the end of the second quarter. And it never really livened back up the way it was at the beginning of the game. But you know what? That's why Michigan needed to start fast. That was one of my keys to the game. They had to start fast. And they didn't do it. They started 21 points behind the eight ball. It's not winning football. But I do think that Michigan was the better team. Just couldn't get the job done. And, you know, because the offense found its way a little too late, the defense gave up. I read on, I didn't do this on my own, but I read on Twitter, 6 plays total. For what, 183 yards? I think that was John Dew that had that. Dew 51, I think. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. If I'm not crediting the right person. But that was it. So, all right, let's get into the defensive side here momentarily. But, you know, if you're looking for a new way to reach customers, you want to reach an upscale male audience, well, then your ad should be read by me right here, right now. Email me at ihole@usatoday.com to find out more about increasing your business. All right, I forgot to mention up top. I was going to mention some administrative deal here. We are going to do 6 podcasts this week, assuming I have a voice, as you can hear probably. Voice isn't as strong. It hasn't been very strong all, pretty much all week since like Wednesday. It started kind of coming down with something, and it's not the strongest voice in the world at the moment. But assuming that I continue to have a voice, feel up and alive, we'll do 6 podcasts this week, all the way up until Saturday. You know, obviously we have a game, night game against Notre Dame, but tomorrow, or you probably listen to this on Monday, maybe, Monday we will we'll do the podcast sometime in the evening again, and that will be a reacting to Jim Harbaugh, what he has to say in the preview of Notre Dame. Obviously, there will probably be a lot of talk about what happened against Penn State as well. Tuesday we'll try to do morning, at least probably mid afternoon. Wednesday will be morning as well, and then we'll get into the mailbag on Thursday, and Friday we'll do the preview. So that is the schedule of things. All right, but before we do all that, I guess let's talk a little defense here. Pleased to see some of the things that ended up happening. One of the cool things, again, John Dew does a really cool like film breakdown type deal every Sunday morning. Follow him at JDew51. He's a former player. So walk-on, I believe, for Michigan back in the 80s. He was on Harbaugh's team. Well, he pointed out some interesting things. One of them, which Space Coyote, also known on some boards, I believe, as Beer Baron. He's a guy that really, really knows football. They pointed out how Michigan basically took away the crossing routes and Penn State went away from them. It's ironic. My best friend actually mentioned this on the phone with me today. He's like, isn't it weird how against other teams, they all try to kill Michigan with crossing routes. Penn State kills Michigan with the deep pass. And for some reason, that's the one that works. And obviously it did. You had the one play, which Jim Harbaugh admitted, the last touchdown to KJ Hamler, that they were supposed to have a deep safety. There was a miscommunication there. So that didn't end up happening. They should have called timeout. They didn't do it. And it burnt them. Which was a shame because it was right when like Penn State could get nothing going. And then Michigan makes a mistake. I mean, I guess that's just the tail of the game, the tail of the season at this point. Michigan shoots itself in the foot. But for all the people who are crying about the safeties on KJ Hamler. Now, listen, I was confused as well, the fact that they went with that, but there were times like I saw, you know, you saw Daxton Hill on him a couple times. And I thought that was a right call, even though he's a true freshman in his seventh game. But if, you know, speed on speed doesn't work, I mean, what do you have? Michigan safeties aren't the slow plotting type anymore either. But yeah, you know, there wasn't like, you know, Ambry Thomas got burnt a few times, which was surprising to see. It happens. That's the nature of football. I thought Michigan did an excellent job on defense as well. Not early, of course. Penn State took it to them early. Michigan adjusted. And then Penn State was basically only able to get one big play after that. Credit to the Wolverines on that. You know, credit to Don Brown. I know there's people who are just as angry, but I mean, you held an offense that has shown elements of being prolific to what, 254 yards? Do I have that right? Something like that. I don't have it right in front of me here. But yeah, 283 yards. Time of possession, excellent for Michigan. That's a credit to both sides of the ball. It's the first time all season long that we've seen a really, truly excellent time of possession. That was, you know, the offense being able to methodically move the ball mixed with the defense getting a lot of three and outs or four and outs, or, you know, at least, you know, they'd get a first down and then Michigan would get the ball back. They tightened up, which is really, really good to see. Now, going forward, This game gave me a lot more confidence that they can do some things going forward. Because even though I had said, I believe publicly I'd said this, maybe I didn't, but I'm pretty sure I had, that I expected them to lose by a touchdown to Penn State. So check, not, you know, that unfortunately ends up being the case. But then beyond that, I expect them to win at home against Notre Dame. They play differently at home. So that's what I anticipate. here's the good news. This team has shown resolve and it's shown a pulse. Both sides of the ball. No, it's not ideal that it's a work in progress still, because guess what? Big Ten championship, probably out the window. You need significant help to get that. Might get it, but way Ohio State looks, but we'll see what Ohio State looks like against Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin lost to Illinois, but that to me was the whole looking ahead. It happens. They are going to be fired up for that game. I think Wisconsin is good enough to give them a fight. I still think, guess what? I still think that Ohio State's going to win the game. But good news for the sake of, guess what? Now you have a pissed off team that wants to go out there and prove that it was that team that everyone said that they could be. If Ohio State trips up there, I mean, they could trip up against Penn State, but I think you're probably, at that point, if Ohio State trips up before that, you're probably hoping that Ohio State beats Penn State so that Penn State has two losses, and then you wish for Michigan to do the deed itself. Assuming Michigan takes care of business, beats Maryland, Indiana, and Michigan State, but now you're in this place where Michigan has the ability to go out there and beat some rivals. They have all three rivalry games remaining. And if Michigan is able to beat all three, which, again, I'm not predicting. I predicted before the season they were going to lose to Ohio State. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. It might look like it's impossible at the moment. But if Michigan can play the way it did against Penn State, in the end, the last 2.5 quarters, for 60 minutes against Ohio State at home, they got a shot. That's not glass half full, rose-colored glasses, maybe some blue-colored glasses, whatever you want to say. But Ohio State, it's funny because Michigan's had its best teams going down to Columbus where it's impossible for them to win. And when Ohio State's come to Michigan, Michigan's been on, on life alert. So, yeah, they can do it. I'm not saying they will. I want to make that very clear before I start getting angry tweets. But it's now it's up to them. They have talent. They have the ability. And now we saw some resolve that we haven't been able to see all season. Army, that was a different kind of resolve. This was Iowa was a different kind of resolve as well. This was different. Is it enough? No. By the way, I'm not saying, like, be happy about this loss, but the loss is done. There's nothing you can do about it. Are you going to be angry as a Michigan fan and just watch angrily? I mean, that's your prerogative. They showed you something on both sides of the ball. They showed you stuff that they didn't have before. An offense and a defense that was able to clamp down when it really needed to for the most part. Yes, it still made mistakes. Yes, some of those mistakes, including the lack of communication, cost dearly when Penn State was able to push it to a 14-point lead again. But anyhow, all right. I'm going to take your questions here, but remember you can find us on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Himalaya, Spotify, all of that. I'm just going off the cuff here, so yeah, just know that. I'm sure you all do. All right, taking your questions about the game. We're just going to go in order from the people who responded. Obviously, just if there's any dumb questions out there, they're not getting answered. So know that. Starting with my brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Was this game a turning point for Michigan? They looked more complete to me. I mean, I feel like they have that ability. But just kind of like the Detroit Lions, right? I thought that they could walk away from that Green Bay game being like, okay, we've got something, but you can't let the same loss beat you twice. That is the only thing. And I think if Michigan uses this to say, we finally put something together, because this game, it's interesting, the offense and defense weren't working at all, either of them, for a quarter and a half. And then together, they both started performing, like you said, a lot more complete. You just got to put that together for four quarters. Know that you can do it. That's what's been missing all along, really since, 2016. 2016 was probably the last time, last year, the gauntlet and all that. But it's been a while since we've seen a Michigan team have it, this, not at all this season, not the last two games last year. Heck, not even the last three games. You include that Indiana game in there. Probably since Penn State, where you had both an offense and a defense working together. And that's I think that's important. So they gotta get over this and get on to Notre Dame and realize that they can redeem themselves. Because you know what? Michigan does beat Notre Dame. If they beat Michigan State, if they somehow go and do the unthinkable and beat Ohio State, no one is going to care about the loss to Penn State or to Wisconsin. No one in the Michigan fan base. They beat all three rivals in a season. Guess what? You'd be super happy. Heck, I'd say if you beat two of the three, and I think that's probably going to happen. But we'll see what happens on Saturday. Abraham Justice at Mr. Abe Justice. What did Michigan do differently in the second half offensively that allowed them to click? It seemed like the screen passes took advantage of PSU's aggressiveness and then made them honest and opened up the run game. I think you just nailed it. Yeah, that's like what I said earlier, and I credit my friend Doug for kind of noticing that. I was too busy petting my new lens, which I am apparently calling Esmeralda due to one text that I sent out last night. But I was like, oh, it's so pretty. I think that's 100% what they did was and Shea keeping the ball. I think Shea could have run more, and he probably shouldn't, but that those holes were bigger than I've seen that were up the middle than I've seen all since the first game of the season. Like, the offensive line did a fantastic job. I think it was just a mixture of all those, and finally the play calling matching what was out there for them taking what they could get. And I think that was, that's what really worked. Charlie Myers at MGO Mish fan. What's your level of confidence in this offense going forward, especially versus Notre Dame? Also, do players have the ability to call timeout, i.e. safeties lined up with the fastest player on the team? I don't know the latter part. I would imagine not, except for maybe Shea on offense, but not defensively. I don't believe so. I feel like they'd get reamed for that. Confidence in the offense, I mean, they got to build upon it. As Harbaugh says, stack brick by brick, all that kind of stuff. And, I think that that's the most important thing. And now, I think now that they probably have some confidence, that's when you can start to open it up. Because now they know, hey, we can go up against a defense that was number four in the country. I believe Penn State dropped down to like 14 after that, if I'm not mistaken. We can go up against a defense that's one of the best defenses in the country. And guess what? We're able to run more than 3 yards per carry. We're able to move the ball seemingly at will once they figured out how to do it. So I think I have more confidence. We just need to see it happen. I think that they can, you can do it against Penn State. You certainly can do it against Notre Dame, whose defense is not as daunting. Silk 33. At Silk 336, does Harbaugh ever override Don Brown's defensive calls? I don't have the answer to that, to be honest. I would say probably not. He still should have recognized the issue and called the timeout, just like 2017 Outback Bowl, with Sean McCune at fullback. I think that need to be a little bit more alert in that front. Trent Noop. I don't know why I added a the there. Should this game silence the Harbaugh haters? I wouldn't go that far. I think if they would have won, yes, but no. I mean, it's still out there. Listening to ESPNU on the ride back from Pennsylvania this morning, and You know, they said it was just a similar, same old Michigan. I disagree vehemently that this was like the same old. I mean, yeah, losing on the road is same old, but I felt like this was a different game. Michigan did some different things that it hasn't done. Could have turtled up, and they didn't. And I think, you know, I think people should credit the job that they did to get back into it while also maintaining clear sight of, you know, the self-inflicted penalties that put them in that hole in the first place. Brian Hall at 15BS Hall 97. Given how last night ended, do you think even in a loss that could be the turning point that they needed, that they just came up short of the win? I absolutely do. I think it's just a matter of, like I said, building brick on brick. Sorry, because I know I kind of already answered that. Let's see here. Jeff Waldman, Metellus and Hawkins, and generally decent, are generally decent, I'm assuming, responsible safeties, but just can't cut it in man against the top flight athletes in the conference. Hamler, OSU wide receivers, what's the solution to that? Probably getting a better pressure up front. They were getting good pressure, but getting home is part of it. I mean, that's just going to be what any, you know, any team does against, you know, keeping in mind man coverage is like pro level stuff. And even safeties in the pro level, they're going to get burned. I mean, you're going to give up passes. You're going to. So that's the deal. You have to deal with, I kind of lost my train because I was reading ahead, but I see that the back and forth between Jeff and the Check Audible show, but where Check Audible show says the solution is to ride it out this year. Current recruiting is designed specifically for this defense, and that's why we are bringing in three plus star safeties next year with all sub 4.5 speed, as well as Dax and less known Quentin Johnson. We'll get there hopefully. I mean, I agree, but that's the whole thing is like, wouldn't in any team, no matter who you have at safety, aren't you going to try to get that mismatch? I think that's what you're going to try to get, you know, just like you want to get, you know, Nick Eubanks on a corner, you know, like a just body mismatch. So I don't know. You just have to try to scheme around it. I don't have the answers there. I'm not someone that knows enough to be able to say how to scheme against it, but. Eric Wanderschleben, I hope I said that right, at Eric Wanderschleb 1. Herb Street calling out the obnoxious fans attacking Ronnie Bell. Genuine, unbiased concern on his part, or OSU homer throwing shade at rival fan base and subtly politicking for his alma mater? I like Herbie, but also haven't trusted his motives since the Les Miles / Rich Rod fiasco. I think Herbie is a, I don't know Herbie, I've never met him, but I do think he's the consummate professional. And I don't think, like, I know some people hate on his, you know, say he's biased. I don't think he has that. I think he really, truly is a consummate professional. And I think he's calling out obnoxious fans for who and what they are. All right, let's see. Check Audible Show, at Audible Show. Here's another question you never answer. Michigan completely dominated the PSU game statistically, other than four explosive plays. Is this coaching staff, offensive, defense, relying too heavily on player performance rather than good schematic conception? I think they had a good game plan. Honestly, I mean, those four explosive plays, they just got. That's football. But I thought they had a good game plan overall. It just took a little while for it to happen. Maybe it was more the adjustments than the original game plan, but I think that, I think you need a mixture of both. I would like to see them scheme better in some games, but I mean, they all but shut down Penn State except for those explosive plays. He continues, also based on the performance of barely losing in a whiteout on a top 10 game on the road, is it realistic to expect a favorable outcome in the next three rivalry games? Well, I did kind of answer that. I mean, we'll see what happens against Notre Dame. I think that they'll win by a touchdown, maybe two, but they could lose the game. Notre Dame's a quality team, but I think they found something. So let's see. John L. Yoder, at John L. Yoder. Apologies for anyone who confuses you for the other one. Wondering if Don Brown is the right defensive guy, or is there something he can or would do to stop giving up those big plays? I think he is the right defensive guy. I just think that, again, you get got. That's just what happens. Chubbs, Granberry, is there a chance 2-3 teams in the Big Ten end up with two losses? It's possible. Not predicting it. I mean, Wisconsin could have its second loss, or Ohio State will have its first. We'll see what happens, Penn State and Michigan State. I expect Penn State to win, but Michigan State, you know, maybe they could find something. There's a lot hanging in the balance there. Yeah, I could see multiple teams with two losses. Think if Ohio State loses to Wisconsin and then Michigan beats Ohio State, that's two losses there. Penn State could lose to Ohio State. They could lose to Michigan State. They seem to always have problems with Michigan State. Wisconsin, let's say that they do beat Ohio State. They always have a hard time with Minnesota for some reason. It's a rivalry game. So yeah, that's where I got. All right, we're over time. So that's going to be it. So for the Locked On Wolverines podcast, I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull. You can find me online at Isaiah Hull. Find the podcast at On Wolverines, Wolverines Wire, Wolverines Wire. Again, if you'd like to be featured sponsor on the show, email me at ihull@usatoday.com. Find us on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Himalaya, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, or online at wolverineswire.usatoday.com, where we post our daily podcast every single day to go along with the rest of your Michigan football coverage. This was Locked On Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day.